This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production. Hello and welcome back to Filthy Hope, a podcast from Uniting Heart and Soul in Woollahra, where we dive into the grey spaces where Jesus, life and culture intersect. I'm your host, Jonty Cornford, Creative Director here at Uniting Heart and Soul, and joining me, of course, is the Reverend Vanessa Williams-Henke, Senior Pastor here at Uniting Heart and Soul. This week, we're addressing a topic that's been requested by a lot of you, and something that we've received a lot of correspondences about, many of which think that we should be taken off the air. We're going to be talking about swearing, but even more broadly than that, we're going to be talking about language as a whole. What is it? How we use it? How it changes over time? While we do usually warn you about any swearing, this time I do actually mean it. In discussing these words and their meanings, we do use them pretty liberally, much more so than we usually do. So if swearing isn't your thing, this episode probably isn't for you. But if you're still listening, strap in for probably one of the most controversial and exciting episodes we've done so far. I'll see you on the other side.
G'day, Ness. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jonty. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, absolutely.
Super fun. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, awesome. We are talking about a topic that we've been promising our listeners for a little while because we've also had, let's say, some robust discussion online with some people who disagree with some of our language. So we're going to be talking about swearing and language.
Are we in trouble? Are people super mad?
Not super mad. I think people just need to... like getting more offended by the word fuck than discussion about sexual abuse, for example.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder what triggers that kind of upset.
I guess we'll never know. Well, we can dive into it today.
Yeah, let's go there, I think so.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing. I'm not really part of a series. We're in the works working on what our next series might be, but we've got a bunch of sort of one-off episodes planned, which are going to be, I'm excited for all of them. Mm. But first... let's do Venn Central.
Yeah, do the music, Jonty. It's my favourite part. Bam, 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 bam! Bam, 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 bam! I love that music, Jonty.
I'm going to make a GIF of you...
doing that?
Doing the music.
Yeah.
Like, I think
like that.
For people that are listening to this episode, I might already have used that as the music for the We will see.
Oh, births, deaths, and marriages. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
give it to me.
Yeah, so I'm a minister. I marry people. It's a part of my gig. I fill out all these forms. You fill in all their names, their dates of birth, their maiden names, their, if they had prenames, whatever the names, all the names go into the forms, right? And then you have everybody sign everything in the lead up and then on the day, and then I package it all up and I mail it to births, deaths and marriages. And then they do the next part. They do the processing, and then the lovely couple, they get given a certificate on the day of their wedding, which is all stamped with a specific official stamp, but... for them to go and then change their names, if they want to do a, if the one of the partners wants to change their name or hyphenate names, whatever they want to do with their married name, they then need to get a special certificate from the births, deaths and marriages to be able to do that and to change all their bank details and everything, right? Seems pretty simple to me. So.
I feel like there's a big but.
There is. This is doing my head in. So I've not just one, but two of the couples that I've married, this year, have received, they've gone to apply for their special certificates at births, deaths and marriages, and they've come back saying, you need to get the minister to contact us. We've emailed the minister. The form is incomplete. I have not received one email from them at all. And I then ring Births, Deaths and Marriages and say, I haven't received an email. What do I do? Email this address, you know, the Office of Births, Deaths and Marriages Celebrant Hotline thing. So I get in touch with them and I say, in matter regarding married name of this and married name of that, they can't get their certificates. Is there something that I've missed? And I've gone back over the forms. To my knowledge, Jonty, I have completed everything the way I should complete it. Yeah, I'm pretty fastidious about that stuff. And they come back with an email and I go, oh, good. Okay, there's something I've made an error. I mean, we all make mistakes, right? Could you please tell us the maiden name of the mothers of the couple that were married? And I go back to the forms that I've completed and the maiden names are already in there. They are completed. They're on there. So I go, oh, I wonder if, because one of them was typed in, if they can't, because it's not in pen, they can't see it or something. I'll take a screenshot of that and I'll send it through to them. And then they go, oh, good, I can see it now. They email me back and they say, Rev Ness, we need, as we've said previously, we need you to tell us the maiden names of the mothers. And I want to say, can't you fucking read? But I don't, because I'm a minister and I shouldn't speak like that. And I say, yes, of course. Thank you for coming back to me. And then I hand type it in the maiden names of the mother into the email. I'm hoping that that satisfies the request of births, deaths and marriages.
Maybe we can check in next week and update on the...
Yep. Play the music, Jonty. Play the music. Bah, bah, bah!
All right, so let's dive in. Now, I think to frame this, I might read out a message that we received
here at
the podcast just to sort of set us up and I guess sort out where we're going to be operating today. I won't read their full name. Their name's Josh. Hi, Josh, if you're listening, they're not listening. I just listened to your podcast with Keith Suter. Great episode.
Oh, that was a ripper.
We actually had him back at church recently to preach on the Memorial Day for 9/11, which was...
Dr. Keith Suter.
Absolutely.
Sunrise
fantastic.
Extraordinaire. Love him.
If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. It's great. He said, old mate Josh, I'm curious why you blaspheme and use bad language if you are Christians. Matthew 15:11, New International Version, you had to specify. Mm. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. So, we might go back to that conversation shortly, but that's where we're operating today. Christians swearing.
Did you blaspheme in that podcast?
I don't think so.
With Keith Suter?
I don't think so.
Well, who did? Was it me in the...
Hang on, well, let's go through.
Central?
I think he said...
I wonder what it was in relation to.
I think one of us might have said, oh, my God.
Oh, I say that all the time.
Yeah. So we can get into that as well.
Okay.
But what I want to as well, just up front, is we're not just talking about and we're just going to say them. So if you're offended by swearing...
I'll hop off now.
Not the episode for you.
No.
We're going to be talking about everything from shit to fuck to cunt, but
also to
other language. It's not just the four-letter words. It's about language in general.
Yes.
So we're going to go and just, unpack all of that, It's all about intent. It's all about culture. It's all about language. It's all those different things. We're going to dive in. Just words. What they mean, how we use them, how they've changed over time, things like that. So, Josh, thank you for getting in touch. Again, Josh isn't listening here.
Well, he might be.
He might be, in which case, again, thank you for the message. We do actually really appreciate people messaging in, even if they disagree. I think that's great.
Oh, I love that. But words upset people, Jonty.
They do.
I have spent my life with I've got on my laptop a section called sorry letters that are my proformas for letters in business where I've had to apologise for offending people by saying a word that's come out of my mouth that I didn't actually know that came out at the time, was never meant to offend. If I wanted to offend you, mate, let me tell you, I know how to offend. But the amount of times I've had to send sorry letters to people to placate them because they've felt so offended by something that I've said, language that I grew up thinking was just like shit, fuck and bum were just words, and dick were just words that were like and, but and the for me. They were just joining words. I grew up in a household where they were just everyday run-of-the-mill, you'd say cornflakes, wheat bix, fuck. It all just was – they all meant the same. There was no real
power. I've heard it described, especially in Australia, that the word fuck usually is just a warning that there's a noun on the way. It's the same. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. It's just a joining word.
So as a kid, I grew up thinking, Jonty, that there was no ill intent by saying those words. Dad used it all the time. I mean, a common phrase for my father was rip your fucking snake. And I think that's in reference to his penis.
So definitely a masturbation. We should have used that the other week.
I know, but I didn't know that at the time, nor did I care, nor do I care now. Rip your fucking snake. I think that actually, and Dad would say it as a happy thing. Rip your fucking snake, mate. Yeah. And so as a kid, I've heard Dad saying that as a happy thing about something great that had happened. And so then as a kid, I learn rip your fucking snake is a great thing to say when something great happens.
Yeah.
So it becomes a part of my language. Mm. Yeah. Don't think another thing of it other than Dad says it. And well, if he says it and everybody thinks it's okay if he says it, then I'm going to say it. So I go to school and I quickly learn that saying rip your fucking snake when the year five teacher says, gives you your mark back from your history essay on Captain Cook. When I say rip your fucking snake because I get an A+.
Didn't go down well.
No, it kind of ruined the A+ for the Captain Cook thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I quickly learned that, oh, okay, so maybe those things are not appropriate to say. You know, I think another hilarious story is in, you know how your mum has a baby book for you? Ask her. I reckon your mum's got a baby book. In my baby book, my first sentence was, Teddy had a bath. But in my sister's baby book, it says, fuck, it's cold. That was my sister's first sentence. And mum wrote that in her baby book as a little one, you know? I mean, they're just words.
Yeah.
I feel no impact by foul language that the world says is bad language. I feel nothing about it. I feel mortally wounded when I hear somebody say Jesus or God's name or says something horrendous about God. I feel mortally wounded when I hear that. And I wonder if that's how people feel when they hear, like Josh, when they hear me say some bad word in inverted commas.
Yeah. So why don't we, because let's drill in on the bad words before we even, because there are other words that I want to talk about that aren't inherently bad.
Yeah.
We can get into that as well.
Yeah.
The whole this idea of phenomenology. But I feel very strongly that, like you've already so eloquently said, the word itself means nothing.
No.
I can go through all the different ways that the word cunt is used in Australia, and none of them are demeaning to women or offensive, or usually most of them are endearing. Don't get me wrong, that word can be used very harmfully, and it does get used harmfully.
Yep.
But the point there is it's about the intent behind the use of the word.
Yeah.
So, for example, mm-hmm. If I were to go up to someone and say, fuck off, you fucking whatever, that's delivered with real intent to offend and to harm.
Point your finger.
Yeah. Whereas after a game of cricket, I go up to my teammates, mate, you had a fucking good day today. Well done.
Like, how good is that?
That's delivered with totally different intent. To me, and it's all about context as well, that context where you're with your teammates and you've just spent 2 days out in the sun together working hard as a team, you've had a great win, someone's performed really well. I was captain of my team last year and I felt it was, as captain, it's your responsibility to make sure that your teammates know when they've done well.
Yep.
As well as sometimes as captain, you have to tell people that you expect more from them. You go up to someone and say, mate, well done. You had a fucking blinder of a day out there today. To me, people would say, well, that word is unnecessary. Sure it is, but all words are unnecessary. Every word can be substituted for anything. Any choice of any word that you make can be substituted for something else. So the word fuck in that sentence literally means nothing other than I'm emphasizing how much I've noticed that they did really well and I'm applauding them for that. As opposed to the previous sentence, which is I have disdain for you and I want you to know just how much I hate you. For example, same word, completely different intent, completely different way that that's received as well. Because this idea of, I mentioned phenomenology, people talk about it a lot in the comedy world, but it's just to do with linguistics and language. Meaning doesn't happen in the mouth of the speaker. So they talk about it in comedy. The punchline and the joke doesn't take place in the comedian's mouth. It takes place in the brain of the person recipient. Hearing it. Yeah. Yep. So a joke said by itself isn't funny. It's funny when someone else hears it and reacts to it. And they can either react and say, that was really funny and laugh, or they go, that wasn't funny. So same thing, you know.
So Josh would want you to say, gee, Peter, that was a sensational game you had in the sun for 3 days.
I noticed how well you performed and I appreciate it.
You were sensational.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you talking about? I want to let him know that you had a fucking good day out on the pitch. Like, you know.
Do you know what my dad said to me the other day? This was gold. This just says everything. I'm going to say this in my eulogy when my precious father passes away. It's probably one of the most beautiful things Dad's ever said to me. We were doing something and we were having a conversation and he was feeling appreciative about some stuff that I'd done for him. And he said to me on the phone, I just want to tell you, you're fucking terrific. And I tell you what, that makes me want to cry. The fact that Dad said that to me like that. I just want to tell you, you're fucking terrific. I pulled over my car and I put it into my notes on my phone. Because it's one of the loveliest things that my father could say to me.
Yeah.
That I'm fucking terrific. So I just think he could say, you're, Vanessa, you are really generous. And I love your kind, generous spirit. That's never going to come out of my dad's mouth. But fucking terrific, mate. He nailed it.
And I don't know your dad, but I would assume if he did say that, you'd go, he doesn't fucking mean that. That doesn't sound sincere.
That's not dad.
Because I think, especially in, and we're speaking as two Australians.
Yeah.
I think swearing is a sign of real sincerity. Because often,
and thank you, Jonty.
I can speak as he's got tissue on there.
Yeah, tissue face.
Yeah, all good. As an Australian, swearing to me is just second nature. It doesn't. It's not something that I calculate. It's not something. No. Sometimes it is, but often it isn't. And so when people do swear, it often comes out of genuine sincerity.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great example.
That's Dad.
Of that.
You know, it's gold. And the fact that I got off the phone, I pulled over, I wrote it into my notes on my phone, then I rang my sister, I rang my daughter, I rang my husband, and then I rang my mum. I said, guess what Dad said? And mum pissed herself laughing and she said, oh, that's so your father. That's so your father. That's the greatest compliment, Ness, ever. I said, yeah, it is.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. It just, like, touched me in a way that, you know, it's just the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just words. If we can get hair and makeup over here, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. If we could just pause and get hair and makeup. Put the hair and makeup thing up now, Jonty. Yeah, good.
You just had a bit of tissue.
Tissue. So yeah. Well, at least it's not hanging out my nose like that. Okay, we could do that. Do you know what I mean? Josh should probably write in, though, and say that's inappropriate.
Yeah. The viewers don't want to see that, Vanessa. <That's right. laughs> I'm just scrolling through this this conversation, because I feel like this went for a while and I was being sincere and just answering his questions.
Yeah, of course.
So I asked, as a genuine, just trying to get to the bottom of what his complaint was, is this about changing of behaviour? Would you rather see us not swear on the podcast? Is that your thing? Because he clearly doesn't listen to the podcast anymore. So he says, is it about changing your behaviour? I sincerely hope you don't swear anymore. As it said, it adds nothing to what we say. So I want to get rid of this idea, or at least engage with this idea that swearing adds nothing to what we say. Sometimes it absolutely doesn't. I know people, I won't say who it is, if my brother is listening, he'll know exactly who I'm talking about, because we were ranting and raving about him the other day. He cannot put a sentence together without saying fuck every third or fourth word.
Mm.
It comes to a point where it actually becomes difficult to understand what they're trying to say grammatically. Mm. Mm. And so in that sense, I don't think swearing is helping at all. Mm. But at the same time, that the swearing doesn't mean anything, and that it's not delivered with any intent. Mm. But as we kind of already said, like, hey, well done today. You had a great day. Mm. You know, that's one thing. Hey, well done today. You played real fucking well. Mm. And I noticed, and well done.
It's just like, yeah, bam.
It's the difference between a little Toyota Camry and a Ferrari, right?
Exactly.
The Ferrari has speed and power to it.
Yeah,
and
it's got punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Can I talk about another...
Absolutely.
Piece of language.
Let's do it.
My daughter had a birthday party recently and they hired a party bus. Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
You can hire a party bus. And I imagined it was like a big coach, like a Clipper Tour coach bus, Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
And the kids go out on this thing and I wasn't invited. I had to stay at home and look after the dog. And they went out and they take alcohol on this party bus and they... It drives them around the city and apparently it's got lights and music and they have a party on the bus and then it drops them at a location in the city. And it's something that my daughter had wanted to do for a long time. So her big sister organised it for her and I was really excited for them. I thought, this sounds like a really cool thing to do. Then the next morning when they all wake up, I say, how was the party bus? And she explained what the bus actually was.
Mm.
And... it's not the Greyhound bus that I imagined it to be. And I say to her, oh, do you mean a spastic bus? And she looked at me and she said to me, Mum, I cannot believe you would say something so derogatory like that. Of all the things that you say, Mum, I cannot believe that you would say spastic bus. And I said, fuck, babe, what do you mean? Am I describing, I don't know, like a small bus that holds 14 people then. Is that better? Yes, Mum, that's far better. You can't use that kind of language. It's not politically correct. And I said, well, hang on, babe, hang on. We're in the safety of our kitchen with you, me and your father and your sister. I'm not putting that language out there for the whole world to hear. But just help me understand why, I need to help you understand why I've used that language. Because as a little girl in North Epping, going to North Epping Public School, there was a bus called the Spastic Centre Bus, that's what the sign on the side of the bus said, that was one of these buses that looked like a party bus that would pick up the children that suffered spasticity and were on the way to the Spastic Centre, I believe, at Carlingford. I knew the Spastic Bus. It drove past me every day on my way to school. And we knew it was a spastic bus. That's what we called it. We didn't ridicule it.
No.
It was just where those children went to learn school. That's where they went on the day while I was walking or riding my bike to my school. It wasn't a derogatory term. It was a descriptive.
Yes.
Right? My kid lost her shit when I described the size of the bus as a spastic bus.
Mm.
I think that's a classic example because I had to go into this full discussion like I am with you now about why I used that word.
Yeah.
In that way.
That's a great example of how language changes, not based on the word itself, but by how the word is used.
Yeah.
Because there are a number of words like spastic that were never derogatory,
no.
or insults, no. or offensive. They were simply medical descriptors.
Yep.
But once people start using them as a way of putting people down, then they become as within our culture and our understanding of what words mean and what meaning those words carry when you use them in certain contexts, now that word carries baggage with it.
Yeah. And to her credit, she didn't know that the spastic centre used to use these that style of party bus to take their kids to school. So she just thought, Aurora thought I was just being really fucking rude in describing the bus. And I wasn't.
No.
I was describing a thing.
Yeah. And I actually remember my initial understanding when I was a younger kid of the word spastic was as was my naive 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old brain, was something that you called people that were a bit different. And so driving past the spastic centre, we all pointed and laughed.
Right.
And then had it explained to us.
Right.
That's totally not okay. Here's why. Here's what the word means. Here's the history of it.
Yep.
Pull your head in.
Yeah.
You gronk. Like.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is, and you just have to go on peak hour public transport and hear kids using all sorts of language.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is, as children, it's the same as you watch someone push a kid over in the playground at preschool or whatever. Mm. It's not because, a lot of the time, it's not because they have this vendetta against the other kid. Mm. They're trying shit out.
Yeah.
Then they push the kid over, they see the kid's face scrunch up and they start to cry. And most kids, somewhere along the development, notice that in the other person, they develop empathy and go, oh, that didn't feel good to make that person
feel
react
like
that way.
Yeah.
They try it out, they go, great, lock that in. That's not behavior that is, you know, helpful for other people and you move on. Mm. And I think that was that experience with that word for me was a really important, but also a lesson in how words carry so many different meanings in different cultures and different social settings. Mm. Because, and technically we're a church podcast. I know we have lots of non-church people listening, but we also have church people listening. I present myself very differently. When I'm, for example, I used to work at a different church as a youth worker. I used to preach at church pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And people hear me swearing elsewhere and they kind of get shocked like, oh, should you be swearing? You're preaching at church. And you go, yeah, but I'm not going to get up in the pulpit and
it's not appropriate.
Say, I've heard people swear in the pulpit and it's not appropriate.
Mm.
Because like anything, whether it's behavior, the words you use, the clothes you wear, the amount of makeup someone wears to a different, like, it's all contextual. You present yourself in a way that is necessary and suitable,
appropriate
for the setting. Mm. So, of course, when I'm playing cricket or footy or I'm at the pub with my mates, I might throw some four-letter words around because they mean nothing other than I'm using them as a way of really emphasizing the point I'm making.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas if I'm preaching on a Sunday morning to a bunch of snowy head 10:45 services, I'm not going to be throwing swear words around. I'm going to be going by the script that I've written and deliver the gospel to the best of my ability.
And because you don't want to distract them by the
language,
and you know they're going to be deeply offended and mortified by the choice of the language. So we try to be incredibly intentional about the language you use. I've got a preaching story.
I've got another one. You go first.
Oh, there I was at MLC school. I was new. I was really green as an ordained minister.
Yeah.
And I had my sermons all fully scripted, every single word that I was going to use, because I was so scared that if I came off script that I might say bum, shit or fuck accidentally. So if I stayed in the script, I felt it made me feel safer in my very learning days. I actually still use it, as you know. Yeah. Love a script.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm doing this sermon. There's 1,000 girls there and I finish it off and the kids have laughed and I believe that they've responded appropriately. We've had some really good discussion and we process out and next thing I know, I've got the deputy knocking on my office door. Vanessa, would you please come down to the principal's office? She needs to see you now. I think, oh, dear, I'm fucking up shit, Craig.
Yeah.
And I go down and I think, oh, no, and I was really nervous. It was working in a school and being brought to the principal's office yeah. is no different yeah. to being brought to the principal's office when you're 15.
Yeah.
It's got the same weight. It's yeah. scary, actually. And so I go into the office and I loved the principal. I loved her. She was gorgeous. And she says to me, now, Ness, how did this morning's message go, my love? I said, oh, it was awesome. I think it went, look, you know, I think it was a really good service this morning. I was really happy with how it went. Well, I beg to differ. I said, oh, why? She says, you swore. Are you aware of the language that you used, Revness? And I said, shit, no, no. What language did I use? And she says, you mean to tell me you're unaware of what you said? And I, of course, went into deep mortal panic and thought, I have dropped the F-bomb in the service and I'm not even aware that I've done it. I've obviously relaxed too much into it and I've said this word. I'm, oh my God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. The presbytery's going to know, synod's going to know, I'm going to be sacked. They're going to take my collar away. I'm stuffed. I said, Louise, what word? Can I ask what word I said? She said, you said frigging. And I went.
How dare you?
No, I went, oh, fuck. I'm so glad. Is that what I said? She said, yes, that's what you said. And I said, yes, 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 I probably did. It's in fact probably in my script. And she said, what do you mean it's in your script? I said, well, I have a script. Please go and get it. So I raced upstairs, got my script, brought it back down, highlighted the word. I said, yes, yes, I did. I did. Here it is. Yes, that's the word I said. I was so relieved, Jonty, that yeah. this is the word that I've said. Okay, yeah, yeah, I'm out of the doghouse. It's great. Yeah, 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 look, I did. I said that word. She said, I know you said the word. 1,000 girls heard you say the word. And I said, and the problem is? Well, do you know what it means? And I said, no. Other than I thought it was better than saying bloody.
Or fucking.
That's or usually, fucking yeah. or bloody. Or an expletive. I thought it was a really colloquial way to punctuate what I was saying.
Hmm.
And then she described what it meant. Oh, I cried. Because I had no idea, Jonty. I had no idea what the word meant.
Hmm.
And I apologised and I probably backed it up with one of my sorry pro forma letters and learned a lesson that's not a word that I should use in the pulpit. Because it has another meaning. It's not just it's not like saying bloody.
Yeah.
Like, you know how we used to say, well, I used to say bloody hell. Like as a, oh, you hit your toe.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, shit, that hurts. You know that thing? Well, I thought friggin' was like saying exactly, you know?
Yeah.
Of course. Just punctuating whatever it is I was saying. And no, clearly not. And there's so much trouble for that.
Mm.
None of the girls complained.
No.
But
no,
the staff did.
To be honest, I can imagine that a lot of them suddenly were paying attention.
Well, I became a little bit relevant, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was using their language.
And I think that's interesting because we talked about like language being contextual as well as cultural and carrying different meanings in different spaces. I think there's this really toxic thing that I see sometimes where people are like, well, other people need to take responsibility for their own offence. Yeah. It's like, well, no, if you go into a space and use a word that holds more weight than you're aware of, you probably also need to take a bit of responsibility. It's about being aware in which space that you're in.
Yeah.
And words do have the power to be really offensive and cutting.
And divisive. And
divisive, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I wasn't preaching. I was sitting in the congregation listening. And the person preaching said, fuck.
The preacher did?
Yeah.
They hit their toe?
No.
Okay. They
From memory, actually, I remember exactly what it was. He's actually a very influential person in my life. And he also does stand-up performance poetry.
Wow.
And he has a performative piece that I've watched him perform a number of times. Once was at a Christian festival where he pulls out a Bible and holds it up and says, it's this whole thing about I'm a fucking Christian. And it's super, like, confrontational and like, it's very uncomfortable to watch, and that's the point.
Because he says he's a Christian or because he says I'm a fucking Christian?
It's the F word.
Right.
That's the thing. And you can imagine doing that at a Christian conference.
Yeah, they'd roll
grab
over.
Grab a lot of attention. So yeah. He mentioned that he had performed that at something while he's preaching, and he says, and then I stand up and I say, I'm a fucking Christian. And then he paused and realized that he'd accidentally just
said it.
Said a four-letter word in a sermon. And then proceeded to say it again 7 or 8 more times in the process of apologizing for it.
Yeah, of course.
That's an example of, because I don't remember what the rest of that sermon was about, but I remember that he said fuck like 8 times in the sermon. And that's all anyone was talking about that week afterwards as well.
But I
and
think then, when it comes to yeah, go on.
Well, and then but I remember him also saying, and this stuck with me, is because he could tell everyone was like, "What the fuck? Like this is crazy." He said, "Relax, I don't think God's gonna fall off his throne because the at he said fuck." I might have to bleep that out, but
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh dear, God's bigger than all of that.
Yeah,
really is, and I think. I wonder where our offence stems from. I wonder if it comes from, you know, as little children, I suppose if you've got good parents, your parents say, don't use that language, don't speak like that, and you get reprimanded from a very young age. I remember moving out, Rob and I bought our very first home out at Schofields back in the early 90s, and I was a little bit horrified. I'd moved from West Pennant Hills out to Scoey's into our first house, and I was having to do food shopping out at Rooty Hill. No, wrong. At Quakers Hill.
Ah, yep.
Quakers. And that's where the Coles or the Woolies was. And I went in there, and I remember going from a bit of a princess lifestyle out to there, and it was a bit of a culture shock for me.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. It's back when you could still smoke in the shops, and a mum is pushing a trolley with a little kid in the trolley, so a little verbal kid sitting in the seat part of the trolley, and she smacks the kid across the head and says, "Don't you fucking speak to me like that, you little cunt." Well, she's got a fag hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, I sort of had the drunken tremors and thought, where have I just moved to?
Yeah.
Where have I just moved to? And I think I was probably more upset about the bashing of the kid than the language. And then I unpacked it all. I was really disturbed by what I saw and what I heard. And I thought, wow. That's huge intent, isn't it? Violence in that. So the kid has said some bad word, inverted commas.
That's been met with violence and more bad words.
Yes, that's right.
Which, side note, and I'm not a parent, so I'm totally ill-equipped to speak into this space, but people that hit their kids, and look, I was smacked occasionally, but it's the people that, I've seen it in the shops, people just belting their kids as if that's not the easy way out of actually teaching your child and letting...
That'll teach them.
Yeah, that'll teach them that if they do something I don't like, they'll get hit. Like, as if that's... Anyway, that's a total tangent. And I just feel like you fucking idiot trying to teach your kid by hitting them. Mm. But no offense to anyone that hits their kids, but because I was smacked a few times. I definitely deserved it. I was a little shit when I was a kid.
Can I just ask you while we're on the violence tangent?
Yeah.
So we don't want our children to say fuck or shit, and you'll get into all sorts of trouble as a little kid if you say that bad language.
Yeah.
But if you've got two sons, right, that are, say, 7 and 11,
yeah,
you're happy to watch them beat the living crap out of each other in the lounge room,
yeah,
wrestling, bashing, kneeing in the groin, smashing, putting you in a chokehold, and then you sit back and watch that and go, oh, that's just boys being boys.
Well, let me tell you, wait, keep going.
But you hear your kid say fuck or shit,
yep,
and your kid gets put in the naughty corner,
yep,
majorly reprimanded, but we're happy to condone violence in the lounge room because that's just boys learning how to be men. Well, fuck off.
Yeah. Well, let me say, I spent 2 years at a fairly famous boys' school in Sydney that's been in the news a little bit recently.
And
in the news a lot over a number of years. A lot of those boys, they don't need to be told not to say fuck. That's the least of their problems. Mm. The language is the bottom of the list of a whole bunch of cultural things and behavioural things that are awful. Mm. Awful. Just search public boys' school controversy. Private boys' school controversy. You'll find all sorts of things. Mm. Am I saying that private schools breed monsters? No. I went to a private school for a few years. I'd like to say that I'm not
a monster. You're
a monster? But... is the swearing thing that's the issue? No. There's nothing I wanted to mention. There's an amazing Tim Minchin song that speaks to this really, really well. I forget what it's called, but the lyrics for 90% of the song are fuck the motherfucker.
See, why do I think that's funny?
And that's funny, right? And it goes for about a minute and a half until he finishes the sentence and he says, fuck the motherfucking Pope.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, okay. And his point is, if you're more offended by the word fuck than you are abuse of children that has been protected by people in power for years and years and years and years, then you're twisted and you're backwards and you need to rethink how you feel about offence. Mm. Which is how I feel about when we get complaints about swearing. Mm. If you're going to get offended about something on this podcast, I feel like the word fuck is the last thing you'd should be getting offended about. It's also about getting offended on behalf of other people. Mm. I've had people, and I haven't actually shared this with you, I've had people say it's totally inappropriate to be talking about sexual assault in such an open way. Mm. The person sharing is the person who experienced that assault. Mm. It's not up to them to get offended on your behalf. Mm. Mm. And I think that's really important, is often with swearing, if you swear, someone often it's not because when you do a bit of digging, did it offend you? Well, not really, because I'm an adult. Why are you getting offended then? You're getting offended on behalf of other people. Mm. If they're adults, let them do what they got to do. You don't need to step in on other people's behalf and just treat people like adults.
And I think in our podcast, Jonty, we've talked about things that don't get spoken about in the pulpit.
Yes.
We've been really intentional about talking about things that happen in the world and in life and where Christianity intersects with that.
Mm.
And often at this point we've talked about a lot of trauma, certainly in our Where the Fuck Is God series. We talked a lot about trauma in that series, and I think that's a really good thing because Christians often don't address those issues, and I think it's very important to push that out into the world.
See it in the news all the time.
Absolutely. That's exactly
right. Trauma in the church getting swept under the rug.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a rug sweeper.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anyone.
No bullshit.
Yeah. No. I think something that I think plays into this as well, this might be a roundabout way of getting there, but I always find it really interesting to look at the Australian Film Classification Board and how that has interacted with swearing over the years. So at the moment, so actually even more so the American one, which is just it's a rabbit hole if you go reading about the history of classification. Currently, so the US has G, PG, PG-13 and R. PG-13, you're allowed one fuck in the whole movie. More than one.
Is that a physical fuck or a word?
The word.
Fuck?
Sorry, okay, the word. Sorry. The word.
Yep.
Sometimes two, if it's implied, or if it, but usually one. Any more than that, you get slapped with an R rating, which means that if you're under 17, you need a parental parents. Guardian to come in with you, whatever. The reason I find this interesting is you can say shit as many times as you want now. Even like G and PG rated movies in Australia, you can say shit all you want.
But that was the big bad word back
exactly.
in the
70s. So shit is one that I wanted to – we haven't even talked about this yet. Shit is like you've almost got like cunt up the top.
Yep.
Fuck is almost as bad but not really. And then shit is basically like crap currently within our culture. Within other areas of culture, they're all bad and I understand and respect that. But in broad secular society, the word shit is like – isn't on anyone's radar anymore. So and even I think compared to – like you watch films from yesteryear and you can even go back into like the history of American cinema and look at things like the Hays Code and things, how censorship has worked. The word shit, where it was compared to where it is today, means nothing. The word fuck today to where it was has reduced so much and to the point where I actually think in 10 or 15 years the word fuck in film censorship and therefore, because I think films and the way that censorship interacts with what people watch at what age does affect how people use language and interact with things like sexuality and violence all of those things. So I think it's actually a really interesting comparison to make. The point being, if you look in the Bible, there's no – like Jesus never talked about do or don't say the word fuck because the word fuck didn't actually exist until much later. And so – but if you go through, even Jesus says some things which culturally at the time – were just as bad as swearing. Mm. He calls a woman a dog. Mm. And that's part of a lesson that he teaches this woman. Mm. It's a really, really interesting story to read and to try and pick apart. But not just Jesus. All the way through the Bible, people use language directed at people with real intent to harm and to cut people down. And just because they're not using shit or fuck doesn't mean that it's not swearing, because those words are in the history of human language and linguistics are very new.
Yes.
And so to say that the word shit or fuck is just bad, don't use it because it's always been bad and they're never good. It's like, well, give it 20 years, no one will care. Literally no one will care.
Do you think Josh would be happier if I said things like, oh, they're just operating like a den of vipers? Because Jesus said that and therefore that's okay.
Yeah.
But a den of vipers?
Yeah.
They're like a pack of fucking assholes.
Well, I mean... get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Is he saying that Satan is present at that moment? Maybe. Mm. Is he saying you are behaving like the evil one and you need to check yourself and invoking Satan in the process? Mm. More likely, that's full on.
Full on.
That's pretty fucking full on.
That trumps fuck off.
I think so. Like that's...
Maybe I'll start using that.
But that, like that is language with intent and some serious baggage, right?
Yeah,
That invokes some heavy stuff.
Mm.
More so than like if I call my friend a silly cunt because he did something dumb
or a total dickhead.
Yeah, means nothing. It actually comes from a place of endearment.
Yeah, that's right.
Usually, and I've just finished reading a book by a comedian called Daniel Sloss, who's Scottish. And I think the way that language interacts with culture in Australia is very similar to the way that it does in Scotland. Because he uses, there's a chapter about the word cunt, which he talks about just mean any noun, substitute it for whatever. I remember in year seven, very early on, I went to a public high school initially. I'd heard all the words, but I also grew up going to Sunday school and youth groups on Fridays, and language was like, if I heard language out in the world, my attention snapped over to where the language came from. If I heard it in a movie or saw it in the movie, I'd look to my mum and dad and go, are they going to turn it off?
Yeah, are they going to turn it off?
They just said crap.
Ooh.
I remember they said crap on, do you know Angela Anaconda, that TV show? They said crap one time on ABC 3 on a Friday afternoon, and my mum was like, I'm writing a letter of complaint. True story. But and even in like music. We're a big music family. Mm. No music on iTunes with the explicit tag. Mm. No CDs with the little sticker on it. Nothing. Mm. Yeah, and so...
So I guess your mum and dad, when they were thirsty, never said things like my dad said, which was like, I'm as dry as a Dendigo's donga.
Yeah, no, absolutely
not. Did they say
that? Absolutely not.
And that was just, I'm going to go and get myself a drink. Yeah.
So cut to 12, I'm 12. I'm not even a teenager yet. I'm at year seven. There are 18-year-olds within just sharing the same space as me from all different cultural and economic and all different backgrounds, right? Because they're... The only thing that we have in common is they live in the same catchment area as me. Well, I remember vividly going to get the bus, getting the bus home, and what I would assume was a year 11 or year 12 because they were so much bigger than me at that point in early high school. You're like, everyone's massive. They could all be 44, you know.
Yeah.
He was running to get a bus and he ran past and I heard him say, oh, I've got to get that kind of a bus. And I was like... What did that bus do? Did the driver swear at him or
hurt him?
Do something? I was like, no, it's just a bus. it meant nothing. And that was a huge thing for me realizing. And that's not to say, I've used that word quite a lot on this podcast because I think it's important to use the words that you're invoking and take responsibility for the word. But that's not a word that I use very often at all normally because it has a lot of cultural weight and power to swing around. But that was a big thing for me in understanding that in different spaces and in different cultural settings and different contextual settings, words can mean just about anything. Mm. And in that context, he just meant, I've got to reach that bus before it leaves. Yep. That's it. There was no offense attached. There was no intent to be none of that. That's all it meant. Mm. And that was a big, big learning thing for me. That I had to sort of realize maybe that the way that I experience tension around language isn't actually how everyone experiences tension around language, and it's different for different people.
100%. Yeah. I wonder, Jonty, why the word dick, when we say you're a dickhead, why the word dick, because it's got nothing to, doesn't even sound like penis, a little bit like the C word doesn't sound like vagina.
No.
Wonder why the C word, I have trouble saying it. Wonder why that word has has greater power than to say dick.
I mean,
and you're describing the male anatomy.
But I think this
what is that, do you think?
So, and this is why it's really important to understand the words that you use. Mm. Because the word dick doesn't carry the same cultural weight as the C word does. Mm. The C word directed towards a woman is one of the worst things that you can say, I think. Whereas if you call someone a dick, they could have just not texted you back. That's it. On a literal level, they're both just descriptions of genitalia.
Yeah, that's why
but
I asked the question.
They carry different baggage.
Yeah, and big weight. That's
we haven't even, and we're not going to get into this, but it's the same with racial language.
Yep.
You have to understand the baggage that words carry around, because if you throw words around that you are not aware of the baggage that they hold, watch out. You have to be aware of what words mean, literally, but also what they might be perceived to mean.
And the language around gender, that scares me no end. That scares me more than, inverted commas, bad language. To get gender wrong.
Sure.
That I just don't want to offend anybody about gender and the pronouns. I just don't want to get that bit muddled up.
I remember getting, not literally, but slapped across the chops for using the word gay.
Right.
I remember when I was even late primary school, early high school, we'd use the word gay as, oh, that's so gay. As in, that's lame.
I remember
that
use
lame,
of that.
Or that's
lame. Yep.
Cut to, I'm now a still developing adult.
Yep.
I do actually use that word with my a couple of my gay friends.
Yeah.
Because there's a really funny bit a comedian did about, he's discussing the way that gay people in society have changed. Is this not the people themselves have changed, but the way that they exist in culture is roughly the same as veganism. Back in the 90s, it was like you'd have your first vegan over and be like, oh, so what's the thing? And they'd explain and you'd be like, oh, okay, that's kind of new. Now it's not, it's, who cares?
It's not even
there's
a thing.
There's plenty of people. And he's, and, you know, it's not morally wrong to be gay. That's, it is a bit gay, but it's not morally wrong. So with, I have a couple of friends of mine that, are, that I'm really close with that are gay and they'll do something and I was like, that was a bit gay, you know? Like, yeah, because I'm fucking gay.
But my grandma would use the word as if it was like a, it's a gay time.
Yeah.
It's a
gay time.
It's like she would use it as language that was happy.
But the point there being is the use of that word has changed. All down to the intent as well. Because if I use it to describe something and I'm saying it in a negative way, so like, oh, I had to go and do a double period of maths today. That was so gay. That's horrific.
Yeah.
No one should be using that word in that way because it's implying that gayness and queerness equates to something shitty and awful.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is terrible.
Offensive.
It's a, that, yeah. And that is
offensive.
Where offence can be taken. And I think rightfully so, is people slinging words around without really thinking about what they mean.
Oh, yeah. Jonty, what a huge topic.
Big, right?
Yeah, it really is. I hope people aren't too offended.
Well, look, I think if they were offended, they would have left in the first 5 minutes when I said shit, fucking cunt all in one go.
Good. So, excellent.
But, but yeah, I do think that, like, I understand if people don't listen to this one because they find the language offensive. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I wonder if they should challenge their childhoods, though, and what mummy and daddy used to say or when they copped the wooden spoon.
Mm.
You know, was it because mum hit you a few too many times because you said dick?
I remember getting in trouble saying the word bum.
Bum.
The most offensive word of all.
It was bum.
And it was in reference to someone's bum.
Sorry, Jonty.
That I mentioned him last week. Tom Segura, one of my favourite comedians, he did this was when he was young and still starting out. He'd take anything that he could. He performed at like a Christian youth group thing and they said, clean, 45 minutes, no swearing. And he said,
100%.
Sure. He almost saw it as like a challenge. I can set myself that challenge and I'll do it. And he did it and he performed it and it went down well. Similar to you getting called to the principal's office. The stage manager goes, Tom, we need to talk to you. He's like, oh, okay. Was it all right? He's like, it was great. But we said clean. Okay, what did I say? And they said, you said penis. Not even calling someone a penis or using it as in like sucking a penis or like nothing, just referring to someone's penis.
Yeah.
This is a thing. And
but you could say someone's shoulder and that would be okay.
Yeah.
Someone's knee, your tibia, you could say tibia.
Sure.
And that'd be okay. But to say penis.
Do you have to come up with like a euphemism for it to be okay?
Yeah. What is that?
So people, this is a thing that I've been made aware of recently. People like church communities, even just in a purely anatomical way, using words like penis or vagina, totally not okay. You have to use like euphemisms, as if the name for a part of your body
is shameful,
is offensive.
Yeah, but it's shameful, and that's not setting your kids up for healthy.
No, totally not. And I did want to bring this up, and then we can bring this to a close. Again, Tim mentioned, and I'll link these videos below because I think they're actually really, really well thought out opinions about the use of language. He talks about, and I feel very strong, again, we're not going to get into the use of racial language because we're two white people. That's not for us to comment on. But when, this isn't just a Tim Minchin thing, but he talks about, lots of people have made this observation, white women on CNN using the N-word.
Oh.
Not actually using the word, but saying the N-word is putting that word in the person's head. And now they're using it. And that's what I mean about take responsibility for the language that you use. If you're going to use the word, don't hide behind invoking it without actually taking the responsibility for it yourself. But he talks about you can say that. You can say fuck on like on the news or on a newspaper as long as you say something like the N-word or you say F**k.
Yep.
The point being that he's making, you can invoke that word as liberally as you want. You just hide behind something that doesn't actually hide the word at all. Mm. Whereas the word finger, not offensive.
No.
But if you were to say, I'm going to finger your dead mum, for example.
I can't believe you just said that.
But where do you put the asterisks?
Yeah.
You can't. Mm. There's no swearing in there. Mm. The intent behind those words that you've put together in that order, super offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Super offensive. And again, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but the point being, words only mean what you use them for. Yep. Like the word itself, finger, means it's the thing that you have 10 of. Like, it means nothing.
Yeah, so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's just language. You have to take responsibility for the words that you use. I think it's James chapter something. The tongue, he uses all these metaphors for what the tongue is like. Mm. A spark that can light a fire. It's like the little tiny rudder at the back of the boat. It's tiny, but it can, like the bit in a horse's mouth. Mm. Really small on their own, but when you use them, they can have huge consequences.
Yeah.
And take fucking responsibility for it. Don't hide behind them and, but I didn't mean... No, take responsibility for your words.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same way that I think, you know, we throw a bit of swearing around in this podcast because this is a more colloquial conversational setting and we both, we're both in cultural places where swearing is appropriate between the two of us.
Yep.
But we're sitting down and having this conversation because someone's called us out on it. Yeah. And I think that's us taking responsibility for our language.
Yeah, 100%.
And if we can... encourage people to, because I think the hypocrisy in it's that's the way that song works. Like if you're more offended by the word fuck than some of the stuff that we've been talking about on this podcast, that's on you. That's not on us. Mm. You know.
I hope Josh tunes in and still listens because I'd like to think that he can hear about how much I love Jesus.
Well, that's the whole
not
point.
Get distracted by
that's the whole point.
By any words that I might use,
yeah, you
might
can
upset him.
You can train a dog to get upset by a word.
Yeah,
we're adults, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm exhausted, Jonty.
Should we wrap it?
Fucking need to sleep.
Well, let's do gratitude then.
This is you, brother. Play the song.
So I thought, in keeping with the theme, I would say that I have great gratitude for swear words. Because, like everyone else, I'm not unique, but like we all have bad days, bad weeks, bad months. Bad stuff happens to everyone. And sometimes a good, well-placed swear just releases so much pent-up tension and energy. Even like that, there's I think Mythbusters did a. I miss Mythbusters. Who doesn't? That
show
was the best. It was so good. My dad has a shirt. I don't know if he still wears it. It might have worn out because he's had it as long as I've had memories of dad. It's a picture of Adam Savage from Mythbusters with his quote, "I reject your reality and substitute my own," which I think is wonderful. They did an episode on does swearing help with pain. And they did all the controlled testing of experiencing. So they did like buckets of ice and like how long you can sit in submerged in ice
without
swearing
it.
And with swearing and they did all the stuff. Confirmed, swearing
helps.
Does help. It because something about it, I don't remember the data that they pulled, but like something about, I've broken both my pinky toes at mum and dad's. I used to have, I don't have it anymore. But when I got a different bed, the frame was a bit wider than I was used to.
Yes.
And I kicked it so many times. I can't move either of my pinky toes anymore because they've both broken so many times. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, if you kick your toe and hear the crack of your toe breaking and you try and suppress it and just go, okay, that hurts, move on. It just keeps hurting. But if you go, fuck, that hurt. Fucking shit balls. You feel better. You feel better.
So are you saying that if you bust your toe and saying, oh, bother. That hurts. That wouldn't help.
Well, that's and that's one of the I guess it's probably on YouTube or somewhere. If you find that Mythbusters episode, there's all this amazing footage of people going putting themselves through pain, and they have to read a pre-prepared list of non-swear words like table.
Oh, golly gosh! Yeah.
So funny. So yeah, and I think even like I said before, I think within friendships that I have and good relationships that I have with other people, swearing has use. It has utility, and I think well placed and well used in if you're aware of what your words mean and aware that how they can be perceived by the other person might be different from how you're intending. But being able to tell someone that they're a fucking champ and that I really appreciate them is works way better than like, hey, I am happy that you are in my life, oh robot, and I am not going to express my emotions. Like, no, dude, you mean the world to me and I'm fucking glad that you're in my life right now. That means so much more, right?
100%. And
yeah, so I think having... Yeah, I don't think Jesus gave humans the ability to cultivate language, and I mean language in its entirety, for us not to use it. That's what I think, and I'm open to people disagreeing, and that's fine. I just think get the fuck over it. It's fine. They're just words. And they're words.
I reckon those fishermen, you know, pulling in the big hauls with Jesus, they were sure to use some good language back then.
I'm sure.
You know, they weren't going, oh, Peter, a little bit more on the left. Pull on to the left, brother, as I grab...
Get your finger out. We're about to go under. Pull the fucking net in, mate.
Mate, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I reckon Jesus was okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like that person who I will have censored their role at the censored church, God's not going to fall off his throne. I think he has more things... on his plate than more important things than words that won't mean anything in 30 years.
I'm Ness.
And I'm Jonty, and this is Filthy Hope. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show and you want to support us so we can continue having these conversations, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you can get notified every time a new episode or highlight clip comes out. Or even better, just tell a friend about what we do. Please feel free to get in touch. You can do that on socials or email us at filthyhopepod@gmail.com. If our language did offend you in today's episode, feel free to find us on Twitter and, in the words of the great Frankie Boyle, feel free to tweet your outrage on a mobile phone made by a 10-year-old in China. We'll see you next week, and until then, always remember, take Jesus seriously and don't be a dick. Sorry, Mum.